Republicans in the House will call for a vote today on an emergency measure to permanently end federal funding for NPR and also prohibit member stations from using federal money to pay NPR dues, which is how they purchase programming like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Now, a quick reminder and a disclosure. Our program Here and Now is produced by Boston member station WBUR and distributed by PRI, not NPR, so other stations can also buy programs like ours from the station and distributor. But our home station also buys programming from NPR. We get about 6% of our funding from federal dollars, but smaller stations across the country can get as much as 50% of their funding from federal dollars. This vote today is the third attempt in under a month to cut all federal money for public broadcasting. It's also the latest fallout from James O'Keefe's hidden camera sting, in which NPR fundraising officials made egregious comments. Some of them, it turned out later, edited completely out of context, but still much of it damning. And, of course, also consuming Washington politicians today, the debate over a no-fly zone over Libya and Japan's unfolding crisis. Let's check in with Gail Chadwick, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. She's at Capitol Hill. And this vote, Gail, you say it's the latest measure in the House. It's in the House now. Do you think it stands any chance of passage in the Senate?
I don't. There's a lot of resistance. Democrats control the Senate, first of all, and there are even some Republicans who have spoken out against it.
So why is it happening? I mean, obviously there are people who must still believe that it can pass, but does it then become a platform for everybody?
Well, this has been an issue for conservatives for a long time, who felt that public television, radio broadcasting was slanted to the liberal side, but this video was very damaging, especially as selectively edited it was. It appeared to suggest that NPR executives didn't feel they needed the money at all, and so in a time of great fiscal crisis where we're looking in all directions to cut it, conservatives are, they felt that this just wouldn't play at home at all if they left for recess next week without doing anything on this issue that's top of mind for a lot of conservatives back home.
But on the other hand, none other than Glenn Beck on his website was one of the ones who pointed out how much of this was edited out of context. For instance, there's some question as to whether or not the NPR fundraiser called the Tea Party racist or said that Republicans were counting, Tea Party's members being certain. In other words, it was taken out of context, so people aren't hearing that. But as you said, still a huge brouhaha. Has anyone been saying, anyone who's previously supported funding for NPR, been saying that maybe the paradigm should be changed so that it isn't used as a political football by people on the other side of that issue?
I think definitely that's part of the sort of subtext of the discussion going on right now. But even before you get to that point, I've even heard public broadcasting sources on background say, maybe this is a good thing for us. However, the impact on the smaller stations is going to be very, very difficult, and that's what was really left out of a lot of the editing. I think there was a quick reference to it, but a lot of the full audio tape focuses on that issue. So to suggest, which is the way Congress is interpreting it, that NPR just thinks they don't need the money, that really is a misleading reading of that.
Sure. We've had big donors here say privately, look, we'll make up for the donations. But that may happen in a big city like Boston, and it's not going to happen in smaller markets.
Exactly.
Well, you also write, I just want to touch on this, one Democrat in the House Rules Committee, Massachusetts Jim McGovern, called the vote a rush to judgment, but also proposed banning federal advertising dollars spent at conservative Fox News. How'd that proposal go?
That was interesting. It didn't. It was ruled out of order because this wasn't about television. It was about radio. But the point he was raising, I think, is the larger concern. Does it appear as if Congress is taking a punitive action for ideological reasons? And if so, McGovern said, why don't we just go after anyone whose views are tilt left or right of center?
Gail Chadwick, let's continue with some of the news coming out of Washington. And obviously the most important right now, Japan. Some are saying the State Department was late in getting Americans out. They've sent airplanes in. The Obama administration has reiterated its support for nuclear power going forward, and some of the biggest supporters have questions about that, including Californian Barbara Boxer, who asked, why are EU countries testing their nuclear plants and the U.S. is not? What's been the political split on this?
I think the main impact is going to be on the energy discussion. You know, until last week, so much of the focus was, let's just dismantle the EPA. They're regulating too much. It's hurting jobs. We need to move ahead with nuclear power. I think the Japanese events have really slowed all of that down, especially whether or not we need to be much more careful in going forward on nuclear power. That was never a done deal. And I think now it's even more difficult.
Yeah. And to Libya, the Obama administration seems to be taking a stronger lead in the debate over a no-fly zone over Libya, although this morning we heard Hillary Clinton speaking on Morning Edition saying, you know, we have women being raped in conflicts in Congo. We have bad guys all over the place. So almost sounding exasperated, saying, you know, there's only so much we can do. But yesterday, U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice said the U.S. was contemplating steps that would go beyond a no-fly zone. They're even talking about a no-car zone, you know, trying to stop Libyan forces from driving around. So where are we on this?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern, especially on Capitol Hill, that we just cannot overextend. You know, there are deep doubts about continuing on in Afghanistan, and to get involved in another Muslim country is just a very hard sell. But I think what you're seeing is very similar to what went on with the discussion around Rwanda. As that human tragedy unfolded, there was concern expressed all over the place. There was contemplation of lots of things, but no action. And I think that's where we are with Libya right now.
Well, later today, Hillary Clinton said a no-fly zone would require bombing of Libyan targets, seeming to agree with Defense Secretary Gates, who said the same thing. But on the other hand, we're hearing these voices coming out of Libya. We heard them yesterday on this program. Where are you?
That's right. I think the other very important decision made, again, out of the State Department, was where I first heard it, that there should be no arming of either side, an arms embargo. Well, to not arm an unarmed group pretty much sets in place a status quo that's brutal right now.
Yeah. Gail Chadwick, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, on all the news that's burbling. Gail, thanks as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.